What on earth does Gilligan's Island have in common with Noah and the ark? Well, it's not the number of passengers. The men only had 7. Noah managed 8. It's not the vessel. The Minnow was a tiny ship. Noah built a massive ark. By the way, Noah didn't build a boat. Huh? Noah built an ark. And the word ark simply means container. Therefore, Noah may have just built a giant box for all we know, because he wasn't interested in going somewhere, which is what a boat does. He was interested in saving something, which is what you put in the container in. The minnow, well, it wasn't the intent as far as Gillen goes. The castaways were going for a 3-hour tour. Noah knew it was a year-long ordeal that would be life-changing. Gilligan took no animals, although if you watch the show, for some reason they seem to take a bunch of clothes with them for such a 3-hour tour. And Mr. Howell even took his teddy bear. Noah, well, he packed everything, including those animals. The passengers of the Minnow ended up marooned on an island seeking rescue, while Noah ended up on a planet where he and his families were the only ones that were left. They survived. I guess besides the rain and the fact there were no phones, no lights, and no motor cars, Gilligan's Island doesn't really have a lot in common with Noah and the Ark. And maybe you're wondering, so why start the sermon with that particular clip? And I guess it's because sometimes we treat stories in the Bible like a TV series. Remember, Gilligan was a fictional character that lived on a fictional island. They got marooned off of a fictional boat, and it was a story that was written by men. Noah is not a fictional story. Genesis chapter 7, verses 17 through 24 read, "For 40 days the flood kept coming on the earth, and as the waters increased, they lifted the ark high above the earth. The waters rose and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. They rose greatly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. The waters rose and covered mountains to a depth of more than 15 cubits. Every living thing that moved on the land perished. Birds, livestock, wild animals, and all the creatures that swarm over the earth, all mankind. Everything on dry land that had the breath of life in its nostrils died. Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out. People and animals and the creatures that moved along the ground and the birds were wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left and those with him in the ark. The waters flooded the earth for 150 days. Today we're going to continue to follow Noah on his journey of faith. And today is the day, and I picked a good week for it. We're going to talk about rain. Anybody here tired of rain at this point? I am so sick of rain. But I keep telling myself, we need this rain. We want this rain. But could we maybe have it in smaller batches and not when I'm scheduled to do an outside activity? As I read those events, again, I remind you, these are actual historical events. I'm not just telling you a story. But in telling you, I want you to be able to apply it. And I read that, you're thinking, God said he's never going to do this again, so why on earth do I care, right? We're never going to have a global flood. So how do I apply this story? And that's hard because we can't wrap our brains around what this would look like. Now, I've heard a more modern day story that kind of puts things in perspective for me. In 1969, Hurricane Camille swept through the Nelson County and surrounding areas. It rained, and it rained, and then it rained some more, until eventually the actual mountains gave way. Many were killed, and those that survived lost everything. I have been told the story over and over again, how my granny, papa, uncle, aunt, and cousins survived the night by holding on to a barbed wire fence as they barely left their home before it was washed into the Rockfish River, never to be seen again. And in case you really want some perspective, the next time you're headed south or north on 29 and you're going through Nelson County during the winter, take a look up at those mountains. The scars from where the mountains gave way still exist there on those mountains. And you know what? I've seen mass destruction images of natural disasters. Most here are old enough to remember Hurricane Katrina. Image after image was broadcast about what was going on in New Orleans as it was completely flooded. Last summer, we went to New Orleans, and part of our vacation was we took a tour, and they took us around the city to the various sites, trying to give us some perspective of what it looked like in New Orleans when Katrina blew through. And here's the thing, while both of these events are tragic, they have no idea what it looked like when it came to Noah and the flood. And the more I pondered, the more I realized that this historical event was a lot less about Noah's in the water and much more about Noah and his faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, by faith Noah, when warned about the things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is keeping with faith. And as we begin to try to think about Noah's flood and begin to think about how could I convey this, because I can't make it rain that much, aren't you glad? I began to wonder, what do you think it sounded like? I mean, God, remember, sealed Noah in that ark. And I imagine at first what Noah could hear was his family discussing what was about to happen. He probably heard the people outside that had gathered around, and let's face it, they were probably mocking him at that point. And maybe you never thought about this, he could hear the animals, you know, the growling, the bleating sheep, the goats, things like that. And then it happened. The sound of rain as it started to fall. In my imagination, and again, I have a really good one, I kind of imagine God letting it start kind of slow. Then it began to pick up. Then it begins to pour. And Noah begins to hear the rain pelting against this container that he had built. And as the rain fell and the sound from the people, it probably changed, as did their mind. You don't think there was some banging on the side of that ark? Yelling out, we believe, open up. There's got to be more room in there for me now. As the rain fell, Noah could probably hear the utter chaos outside. Maybe God mercifully allowed the sound of the rain to drown out everything that was going on. People were probably scurrying about the leftover construction site, trying to gather anything that would float and hang on to it. Remember that scene from Titanic when the boat went down? There was mass panic as the waters rose and the people realized the man that we mocked for over a century was right. And at this point, it is absolutely, positively hopeless. In the 600th year of Noah's life, on the seventh day, in the second month, on that day, all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates in heaven were open. So not only do we have water falling from the sky, we have water coming from under the ground. That meant there had to be earthquakes. As the shell of the planet cracked, the water kept rising about 75 feet above top level of a mountain. The shrieks and pleas for help finally stopped, and there was only the sound of water, water everywhere, accompanied by the creaking sound from Noah's now floating vessel. But we are told God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him. And he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. Now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of the heavens had been closed, and the rain had stopped falling from the sky. The water receded steadily from the earth, and at the end of 150 days, the water had gone down. On the seventh day of the seventh month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. The waters continued to recede until the tenth month, and the first day of the tenth month, and the tops of the mountains became visible. I began pondering what would be a great sermon title. I've been working hard to try to come up with better sermon titles. And at first I thought, yeah, water, water everywhere. Wouldn't that one make sense? I thought about this one. How about the day time rained out? How about we just keep it simple? Hope floats. And as I began to think and began to think, I finally settled on, folks, this is all about treading water. And that's because treading water means to maintain an upright position in deep water by moving the feet and walking movement in the hands and downward circular motion. But it also means fail to advance or make progress. It means you're stuck. And remember I told you that Noah built an ark, not a boat? I really can't call it a boat because guess what? There are some things that are drastically missing from his vessel if his intent was to build a boat. There was no rudder. That kind of makes sense because if God had given him a rudder, then there would have been questions about which way to go as Noah tried to go one way. And God said, no, that's not a really good way, Noah. And if God had given Noah a rudder, then when it was all done, Noah could say, look what a good job I did driving this thing. There was no rudder. You know what? There was no anchor. Go read the description. God sent him adrift with no anchor. That means once this thing started to float and the waters rose, Noah had absolutely, positively no control. I mean, I guess he had a window, so he could have abandoned ship, but where was he going? There was no place left to go, so Noah had placed his family's life into not God's hands. He placed it into God's plan. There was no propulsion system, no sails, no oars, and absolutely positively no motor. From Noah's perspective, he was completely adrift. Think about that for a minute. You're just adrift. You're just kind of bopping along like a cork floating on a lake. And well, there's one more really important thing. What if this thing springs a leak? Well, there was no life raft. Thus, for Noah, this was an all-in event. Either this ark was going to save his life, or he was going to perish just like everyone else. I've been doing my deep breaths a lot this week. It's been a lot going on. But can you imagine as Noah is out there and it just keeps going and going and going? And again, I want to remind you, these items were not the absence of these items was not an oversight on God's part. Because this was not about where Noah was going. This was all about who Noah was trusting. See, the cool thing is this is an awesome picture of how our faith is supposed to work. God gave Noah instructions on how to build the ark. And the expectation was, you follow the instructions, folks. He gave Noah a choice to enter the ark. Even after the ark was built, Noah still had to choose to get on to that ark. But once inside the ark, this is all about faith, folks. Can God take care of me? Did God really design something that's going to float? What's it going to be like when I'm all done with this? What's my relationship going to look like with God? And I want to tell you something. Often, I get you. I get a little seasick in my faith. I did. Sometimes I even get a little claustrophobic. It's just too much constraint in what I'm doing. And oftentimes in my personal faith, this idea of treading water, I'm just trying to survive to the next day. Yeah, I feel that. But that's not where the story ends, because it says God remembered Noah. And I got to tell you, when I first read that statement, that causes me a little concern, because did God just suddenly say, oh, yeah, I better go check on Noah. I stuck him in a box and put him afloat. Maybe I should remember. Oh, yeah, you know, I got a little busy doing things. Did God accidentally turn on the water and forget to come back and cut it off? And so there was poor Noah. Understand, when it says God remembered Noah, it means he never forgot him. When you go back and you actually research that word, it means literally, it means God was with Noah every step of the way. And that makes really good sense on God's place, because he had put all the hope of creation in an ark and then set it adrift. Noah was powerless in what he could do. Nothing he could do, except for maybe become a really outstanding prayer at this point. God, are you still there? God, are you still there? God, this has been a long arc. You know, this is a long trip. God, are you still there? Yeah, I understand Noah and his float, and his boat, or his ark. Because God's hand, though, never left that ark. He wasn't actually adrift. There was a guidance system. We'll talk about that in just a little bit of a moment here. But finally, after 110 days, mercifully, the rain stopped. And the ark came to rest on the mountain. And remember, the ark was 50 cubic high, and where they placed that window was kind of on the top. Thus, while the ark was on land now, all they could see was the tops of the mountains. They didn't get to see the valley before them. And now comes the hardest part of Noah's faith, because now Noah... Patience, Noah. I alluded to this a couple weeks ago, that Noah was the first guy to come up with the idea of the game. Are we there yet? Well, here's the game. After 40 days, Noah opened the window he had made in the ark and sent out a raven, and it kept flying back and forth until the water had dried up from the earth. Then he sent out a dove to see if the water had receded from the surface of the ground. But the dove could find nowhere to perch, because there was water all over the surface of the earth. So it returned to Noah and the ark. He reached out his hand and took a dove and brought it back into the ark. He waited 7 more days and again sent out a dove from the ark. When the dove returned that in the evening, there was a break of a freshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew the water had receded from the earth. He waited 7 more days and sent out a dove again. But this time, the dove didn't return to him. We're somewhere around day 190. Ponder this. You're in an ark with your family, okay? Confined space, and a bunch of wild animals, and now you are at day 190, being sealed in this box with one window. I would be going stir crazy at this point. My family might have actually thrown me out of the window at this point, because I don't think I could deal with that much containment. But Noah does what many of us try to do. I know, I'm going to give God a hand. I'm going to figure out when I'm supposed to get out of this daggone ark, because I'm ready to go. And so first he sends out a raven, and the raven doesn't tell him anything. Then he switches birds. I mean, after all, it had to be the bird's fault, right? And he sends out a dove, but there was no dry land, so the dove came back. And so he sends another dove, and that dove came back with a branch. And, well, 7 days later, he sent out again, and that one doesn't come back, and Noah said, time to go. You know what the problem was? Noah looked for signs it was safe, but what he needed was God to say it was time to go. by the first day of the first month. Noah's 601st year, the water had dried up. Now remember, he got on the boat when he was 600, so now he's had a birthday on the ark. So he's 601. The water had dried up from the earth, and Noah then removed the covering from the ark, and he saw the surface of the ground was dry. By the 27th day of the second month, of the earth was completely dry. Then God said to Noah, "Come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds and the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground, so that they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number." And I think our faith journey looks a lot more like this moment for Noah. See, the reality is we keep trying to come up with bird-brained ideas of how this is supposed to work. And really, God just says, just wait. Just wait. I got a plan for this. Just wait. I will tell you when it's time to go. Remember, God sealed Noah in that ark, and he was going to have to be the one to release him. Even after all the birds and all the signs and everything, Noah's like, "It's dry, God, it's dry, God, it's done, it's done." And he's like, "I'll let you know. Because when it's time to go, I'll open the ark for you and tell you it is time to go." And when the time was right, God left no doubt. He called them out and said, "Come out." And here's the thing, even after Noah was out of the ark, his faith journey has just started. I want to pause right there, and we'll pick up Noah's story next week. But I'm not done yet, because I have some questions for you. Actually, question for you. Where are you today? In this story of Noah's ark, I've told you some things that where all the people were during this particular faith experience. So today's game, if you will, is I'd like you to figure out where you are today. Not where you want to be, not where you think you are. I want you to do some honest evaluation, some self-examination, as Rich said, and I want you to ask yourself, where am I today, this day? So Barry, what are my options? Where can I be? Maybe you're on the outside looking in. You're one of those people that the ark door is going up, and you're standing there saying, "Not me." I'd like to remind you something. You've made your choice. You see, you must actually choose to come in. And all of those people that did not choose to come in, God made it very clear. None survived. Well, that doesn't sound like a very good place where I want to be. If you've yet to follow Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, understand that's where you are. You're on the outside looking in. Maybe you're in a little better situation. You're sitting on the ark wondering, what next? Okay, God, I'm on board. Let's get this show on the road. Listen to all those crazy people. I'll show them. God, you've got this, right? But in the back of your mind, you've got those wheedling feelings that, do I really want to do this? Do I really want to take this journey of faith? My advice to you today, folks, is if you find yourself just sitting on the ark and you're hearing those doubts and you're thinking about going back down the ramp and saying, you know what, I don't really think this whole Christian thing is my way, I encourage you, stay the course. Stay put. Just be there. Maybe you're kind of where I find myself a lot of time, folks. You're treading water. You're just hoping above hopes that God didn't forget he left you there. Your faith is afloat. But quite honestly, right now, you're feeling just a little bit adrift. You're bobbing and you're weaving. And you're asking God, "Hello? Are you still there? Can you hear me, God?" For you, here's your advice. He said he'd never leave you, folks. He said, "I'm going to be with you till this is all over. Trust me, I got this. But you have to have faith. I think a lot of people are where Noah ended a lot of his story, and that is they're impatiently sitting on the mountainside. They're asking that question, are we there yet? God, enough is enough, and it's time that we do something about what's going on here. Fine, you're not going to do what I want to do? I'll come up with a strategy of my own on how I'm going to get off this crazy boat. Because you know what? I'm ready to move on. My advice to you is wait for God to say it's time. A lot of times in our life, we get way ahead of God. We think we've got it figured out. We want to do the next thing on our life. And God is just like, just wait a minute. There's more that has to be done before you can take that next step. And maybe you're where someday, I really hope I live here all the time, but I come and go from this next area, and it's you're coming out of the ark, and you know what? You're ready to start anew. Great, cool. You understand your job's not done yet. Did you catch the first command that Noah got when everybody exited the ark? Be fruitful and increase in number. Now, no, I am not trying to start a new nursery program here at the church, okay? There are some people, if I told you to be fruitful, you're like, no, I ain't being that fruitful ever again. I've had my kids. I'm done. I'm there with you, folks. We graduated 2 this year, and that is the last 2 that I ever plan on graduating that don't have the word grand in front of the word kid, okay? I understand, but this be fruitful and multiply isn't necessarily about having children, but it is about sharing your faith. If you've accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and you followed him through your journey and you're to the point that you feel really secure and you and God are out here and you're living this relationship, then you know what? You have a responsibility to share that faith with other people, because guess what? The ark that you came through, his name is Jesus, and it ain't closed yet. That ramp is still open. And it is our job, which means responsibility, to tell the people out there, this ark is open. Will you please get on board? Will you please start your journey? Because someday, this ark is going to close. And that's not going to be one of those happy days as we think it is. For some reason, we have this picture in our brain that when Jesus comes back, that it's going to be all rainbows and sunshine. There's going to be some dark moments, folks. Go read Matthew chapter 25. There's going to be some moments when we have to reckon with the fact that there are people that are in our life that we did not take the chance to tell. And then we're going to have to watch the consequences of their life. Just like Noah had to sit on that ark and listen to that rain falling and those people screaming. What a day that's going to be. And you know what? I want everybody on the ark. I do. I want everybody in a relationship with Christ. Through all of these steps of asking yourself where you are, I want to point back to the one thing that is really the consistent in Noah's life. See, the constant thing in Noah's faith experience was God. The season changed, the weather changed, the animals, everything. That's not the story of Noah. The story of Noah is he followed God all throughout his life. Was it perfect? No. But was it present? Always. Always. And so I encourage you this day to not lose sight of your journey. Because guess what? It's a never-ending journey.